Blog Talk Radio.
On Friday, March 6th, I had a conversation with my colleague in the social networking community, Susan Tenby. She's the senior community manager for TechSoup Global here in the San Francisco Bay Area, but of course, they've now gone global, so they're all over the world. It was a packed session with lots of useful information. So even though it's an hour, please stay tuned. I'm sure you will find something useful, a tidbit here or there. I found the conversation very enlightening and really enjoyed it and wanted to make sure that you know where to access the information I refer to a few times during the show. It's going to be located or is located now at blogs.eastwick.com. Again, that's blogs.eastwick.com. This is Jennifer Lindsay, and thank you for listening. Stay tuned for our session. Hello, this is Breakthrough the Noise, where we talk about social media and the influencers in the space that are hopefully making positive changes. I'm Jennifer Lindsay with Eastwick Communications, your host today, March 6th at nearly 4 o'clock. We're in the San Francisco Bay Area, but remote, and I am so pleased to have Susan Tenby on the line. Susan, if you'd like to introduce yourself, you can do it much better than I can.
Hi, I'm Susan Tenby. I'm the Senior Manager of Online Community Development at TechSoup Global. TechSoup Global is an organization based in San Francisco. It's an international organization that provides technology assistance, resources, products, a community, basically everything you need to know about technology for nonprofits. And we are based in San Francisco and mainly U.S.-based, but have recently expanded to over 20 countries, and we're growing. So that's me.
That's amazing. Luckily, Susan and I had the pleasure of being on a panel last week at a Council for PR Firms event, and I'm pretty new to the PR world. I come from the broadcast media world and have a long and distinct love of anything service-related, nonprofit-related. It always catches my eye. And actually, how I found out about TechSoup Global was through NetSquared, and that caught my attention because there are ways on, you know, the various meetup sites, meetup.com and upcoming.org. And I can't remember where I found it, but I ended up going to an event to try to lend my expertise to the nonprofit world. Maybe, Susan, you could talk about, you know, I know that NetSquared has a relationship with TechSoup Global. You can maybe explain for folks how that relationship works. And
yes, of course. Sorry. NetSquared is our basically our kind of Web 2.0 arm of TechSoup Global. So we are the same organization. NetSquared is a program of TechSoup in the same way that the nonprofit Commons and Second Life that we're going to talk about later is a program of TechSoup. NetSquared, we are on our fourth year of the NetSquared conference, and we, in this program, identify ways to remix the web for social change. So this year's focus is on mobile applications and mobile challenges. We are accepting applications for these mobile challenges right now. An example of what I mean would be if you were to take the iPhone and develop an application to help a nonprofit out in the field, for example, record some kind of information or document human rights abuse or what have you using your mobile device. So the way that the NetSquared conference works is that the public submits what we're calling a challenge, but it's basically their application, their idea of what they want to build. And then the community votes on it, and the top voted projects kind of rise to the top, and then they actually come to the conference, and then the winner is voted for. They present them live, and there's some kind of you know, sessions that where they work out the issues, kind of, there's like working sessions, I guess, where people ask them questions, and then the actual winners are voted at the conference.
Wow, that sounds like so much work goes into that event to create something like that, which makes me ask, you know, can you explain what your day-to-day role is? Because I know TechSoup Global has other initiatives probably besides NetSquared, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. And the conference is actually happening on the 26th and 27th of May. And just for more information on NetSquared, you came in via a Net Tuesday, I'm assuming, from what
yes.
you said about the meetup. So the Net Tuesday, I just wanted to talk a little bit more about NetSquared, and then I'll talk about my larger role and how that weaves into NetSquared, or basically weaves NetSquared with TechSoup together. The NetSquared conference, between the conferences, between the annual conference, it's kind of an online community that is also punctuated by monthly meetups called Net Tuesdays. And these are gatherings in real life at our San Francisco headquarters, where we bring in social change, Web 2.0, kind of social media experts to talk about their projects. And usually they have if they aren't a nonprofit themselves, then they have a social change orientation. So that's what NetSquared is and Net Tuesdays are. And all the information you need is on netsquared.org, the word NETSQUARED.org. And the conference, as I said, is scheduled for this May 26th to 27th. My role, sorry, do you have a question?
No, I just wanted to reiterate, so May 26th and 27th, and where is that located?
That will be in San Jose, and I believe registration, I just got an email, and because I'm sitting in front of my computer, I will look for this email, but I believe that registration just opened.
Okay.
There's a very limited registration, so but you can find out all the information on netsquared.org. And
okay, so we'll definitely make sure we put that link up, too. So if you're accessing this live right now, it'll be on the same page that you're on. We'll go ahead and put the link to NetSquared so you can check out the details on this event, because if registration is limited, we'll want to make sure you have the opportunity to get in on that.
Yeah, it's a pretty exciting conference because, you know, it brings all these people from all over the world together to do this. And it's very unique in that way, in that it's a Web 2.0 specifically aimed at social change. So it's a really exciting event and has garnered a lot of attention. So my role is it sits between NetSquared and TechSoup, in that I was initially hired by the organization, initially back in 2000, I was hired to launch the site, write the first kind of articles to launch the site, but that was many roles ago and many iterations of my existence at TechSoup. But since then, I've been working in different different areas of the organization, and my current role as the senior manager of online community development, what that really means is that I've been kind of driving the online community strategy for TechSoup.org. TechSoup.org is the site that has, 500 articles. It's our content site, and it also has our product distribution channel on it. I can talk a little bit more about that, or I could go more into how my role intersects with those two, whatever I can talk about.
Well, I think it's interesting, because, obviously content is such a driver for people looking for help. If you want to talk a little bit more about, TechSoup.org is such a great site, and as you said, it's very content-rich. So if you want to talk a little bit more about the kinds of things that people might be looking for that they can find there as a resource to encourage them to go there, I think that would be great if you could address that.
Yeah, I mean, TechSoup is basically the technology resource for nonprofits. So if you think about kind of Tech Republic or CNET for nonprofits, where people would find articles and blog entries about all different kinds of technology, everything from how to network your office to what is Twitter to what, Facebook for nonprofits, and everything in between, email etiquette, basics of all sorts of different technology issues. And then there's also this thriving online community, which is what I started running 8 years ago, is a large online forum, sees about 100,000 unique visitors a month. And that's really a question and answer kind of transactional forum. Like if you think about LinkedIn Answers or Yahoo Answers or one of those, people come with their technical questions. Nonprofits come with their technical questions, and that's a really good resource, and they are able to have their questions answered usually within one working day. And the reason why the response rate, it's usually quicker than that, is because the forum is staffed by probably 30 to 50 volunteer hosts and stars, as we call them, TechSoup stars. And they're all technology consultants who either are just trying to do some good in the world, and this is an easy way they can kind of donate their brain, or they are working actually as nonprofit IT consultants or IT staff members.
You're great. You've come up with all these great terms already. I'm writing notes as we go through, but I love that you borrow people's brains. That's so good.
Well, that's actually not mine entirely. It's my boss, Marnie Webb, who's actually the code. We have three CEOs at our organization, and she came up with the term "donate your brain." And we actually have designed kind of a campaign around it, and we are. We have a, right now it's just a feed that you can subscribe to, Donate Your Brain feed, which I believe is donateyourbrain.techsoup.org. Let me just try that to make sure. But we are going to, we're in the middle of making a widget so that other people can have that feed on their sites. And it would be, the idea behind Donate Your Brain is it's an easy way for IT staff to basically give a micro donation of their knowledge to nonprofits. So the way that it would work is that we on the community end would feed in a question, like, for example, what do I do with a dead computer? And people who subscribe to it would be able to subscribe to the area that they're interested in, and so if somebody's interested in hardware, they'd be able to subscribe to that, get the question, and answer it through the widget.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Right now, it's not a widget, though. Right now, it's just a fee that you can subscribe by RSS.
Yeah, it amazes me, you know, when I take a step back and I think about all of the things that you guys have going, and I think about especially some of the open source clients that we have that tend to be, you know, since I work at a high-tech PR firm, they, you know, they're trying to innovate all the time, but a lot of times they forget about the web. So while they're doing these amazing things, especially in open source, one of our clients in particular, they really downplay and don't let people know. And so it's great that you're out there letting people know, and creating a widget is fantastic. Please let us know if we can add it anywhere that would be of use and help to people as another entry point.
Okay, and I did just confirm that it is actually at donateyourbrain.techsoup.org if you want to start subscribing to the feed. But yeah, as soon as the widget is completed, I will definitely let you know. So
everybody got the donateyourbrain.techsoup.org. Make sure, and we will add that to the website as well. I wanted to make sure that we talked a little bit more about, it sounds like you got started in, well, maybe you didn't get started in social media at TechSoup, but I wanted to find out, you know, where you got started so people can understand someone with this wealth and depth of knowledge. Where did they start? Because a lot of people feel so daunted by social media these days, and they think it takes a lot of time and expertise. You have that. So where did you start?
Well, I actually started as a content developer for TechSoup, which just meant that I was writing articles. And from there, I kind of moved into online community because it's what I did without even knowing I was doing it anyway. I mean, I've been online for, 15 years. And I, or longer, you know, I've been online since 92 or something, a long time ago. And I, so I was doing a lot of listserv kind of stuff, and so I moved into managing our forum. I actually launched our forum and grew it, so it's been, you know, my baby for this entire time. And then as that evolved, I realized that the forum wasn't Web 2.0 enough, and the way I moved into Web 2.0 is I guess I started by subscribing to RSS feeds. That was my kind of start in social media was I set up a RSS reader and started subscribing to feeds and then reading about what people were doing with Flickr. I think my first kind of foray into what you would call Web 2.0, I guess, would be Flickr. And then I moved into, I mean, I've been on online social networks since they started. I guess that was, yeah, so a lot of this is just kind of stuff I'm interested in. And then, you know, so then there was MySpace, and then there was Facebook and Tribe, and Twitter came after that. And it's really, it wasn't like I chose a career in social media. It was more like I'm interested in online community. And so online community has evolved into being about social media.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that too. I mean, I was back when I was, you know, helping run shows and doing basically the new media, what we call new media now or emerging media, and I would, you know, be the person that would set up the forum in addition to being the managing editor like you were doing, you know, writing the articles and the traditional things people know they need, but also setting up the forum so that, you know, if a newscaster asked on air, you know, we want to get your input, please, you know, answer this question. I'm running back and forth between my, you know, area of the world, which might even have been a server room in those days, and then back to the studio to try to make a real-time connection between people through television, which, you know, I still think is, you know, interestingly enough, kind of behind the times in a way. But yeah, you know, nobody thought of it as social media. Nobody thought it was connecting with people. But I think those of us that cared about what people were trying to say and get across, it sort of come through, and that's how we've ended up in these careers, because we want to help people connect to one another for whatever reasons.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I actually think it's funny because as you were talking about that, I was thinking about kind of the evolution of how my job kind of went in that direction of from TechSoup, which is more kind of just Web 1.0, for lack of a better word, and online forums into kind of the NetSquared, more innovative stuff. And I think a lot of it has a foundation in tagging and social bookmarking and folksonomy, really the concept of tagging. I mean, I started using Delicious just because, you know, it was a good way for me to save my bookmarks and bring them around with me. And then I was looking at other people's tags, and then kind of the same thing with Flickr is like, you start looking at how other people are identifying and organizing information, and then you start building a community around a tag. And, I mean, SlideShare is a great example of that, or, you know, the NP Tech tag in SlideShare, a nonprofit technology tag, or the Net2 tag is the NetSquared tag, the NPSL tag is the Nonprofits and Second Life tag. Just even the concept of a group consciousness around organizing information and what different people consider to be a part of a larger group. So it seems really simple and basic. Just a tag is just a way to, you know, a meme to bookmark something, but actually that becomes an online community tool.
Yeah.
So I guess that was just an interesting realization, and also a way that I kind of got involved. Like, if you think about YouTube and tags, I mean, that's even a more kind of live way for people to, or the hashtag in Twitter, for example.
Yeah, I mean, I think about that a lot in terms of how interesting it is psychologically speaking. You know, I think that there's a fair amount of play. I talk to, you know, obviously we are all talking to each other as much as we possibly can in this world, and of social media, and, you know, so many people I talk to have this, you know, were, you know, thinking about being a psychology major at one point in college, or were just interested in it, or their parent was in that, and it's like this interest in human behavior, you know, and so tagging comes out of that, you know, and how people kind of, you know, qualify content, you know, what they consider it to be. And, you know, Twitter obviously has its own kind of taxonomy about it, but, you know, I think about hashtagging and, you know, wanting to claim being part of a conference or something bigger than just that individual tweet, which is kind of...
Right. I mean, with hashtagging, it's interesting because it's not just about kind of bookmarking for your own memory device, but more... with hashtagging, it's like creating a community intentionally around a tag. It's almost working in reverse rather than, like, for example, if I tag a picture of New York as big and apple or whatever, then there are other words, like there are pictures of apples that are going to show up if I go to the tag apple and pictures of New York. But so it's kind of, you know, it works in some ways and it doesn't in others, but then there's this kind of other concept of creating intentional community around a tag, saying we all decide this is our tag, you know, whatever it is, you know, for the conference, let's say, the one I just did this week was NetWits. So this is our tag, and now everything associated that you want to associate with this community, you tag that. It's kind of, another use of, I don't know if that was an original intention, but it's another use of tagging that I think is really helpful and kind of continues beyond the actual event.
Absolutely.
Like the NetSquared tag is a good example of that.
Yeah, so the NetSquared tag is?
Net2. And it started with our conference, and really now anything having to do with kind of Web 2.0 for social change gets tagged Net2. So a community develops around this tag.
Yeah, that's good for everybody to know about the Net2 tag. So especially if they're, you know, if they're working on things that not have not necessarily been associated, but, you know, are kind of falling under, you know, or they're, you know, if they're going to attend this conference or something like that, that's good to know.
That's right.
But one of the things I think is really interesting is I remember when Second Life came out, of course, and I remember, you know, and there's certain seminal moments. So I think, you know, everybody signed up, and then you kind of waited to see what would happen, and little communities formed, and it's you know, been really interesting to follow the path, and I feel like I've kind of dipped in and out of it. And, of course, from a news perspective, I remember, you know, when CNN launched its news bureau there, and I thought, God, if you'd ever been a member, it probably didn't make sense. And, of course, that effort failed, but yours has been very successful, and you're, of course, known as a Second Life expert. And, you know, I just want to know how you became involved to start with and kind of how's it changed, evolved from your point of view and kind of some, you know, even if you want to get into, you know, some of the best practices, because, you know, it was fascinating just the links that I was going through today when I was looking at your bio and learning more about what's going on in Second Life for nonprofits. It's absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, thanks. So, yeah, the way I got started, and it's funny because in some ways I'm considered an expert, but, you know, I'm on the other hand, I don't build anything. So it's really, with Second Life, it's interesting. A lot of people are very daunted by the barrier of entry, the kind of high barrier of entry. It's a very difficult platform. It's not intuitive. And so a lot of people, I think, initially are very put off by that and daunted. But, you know, what I always like to say with regard to that is that you don't need to be, you know, a super techie programmer, scripter. There's a role in this virtual world for everyone, just like in the real world. There's, you know, if I work at a technology agency, and I'm a power user, but I'm certainly not a programmer. And so, you know, the way I started actually was, it's a little bit self-revealing, but I'm a cancer survivor, and I came in as a member of a cancer support group in Second Life. I actually got called in before that when they first launched. Linden Lab called me in as a community manager. Asked me to do a focus group, just kind of knowing that I was an online community manager, just asked me to come in and do a focus group. And I sat there and kind of half understood what it was about. And I'm not a gamer, so I wasn't really coming in with that frame of mind where I think if I was someone who played World of Warcraft, for example, it would have made more sense to me.
Right.
I was looking at it from an online community perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So then I went home after that and was so excited by the concept that I went in and spent probably 40 hours straight without sleeping, just exploring this enormous virtual world, which that was 4 years ago, so you can imagine how much bigger it is now. And when I found a support, I found a cancer support group meeting, so I started going, and then after that, I realized, like, there were very few nonprofits at the time, and I couldn't find them. And I was doing different searches of different spellings of nonprofit with a hyphen or without a hyphen, or NGO or NPO, and I wasn't finding, there was no kind of central repository for nonprofits. So I thought, well, considering that's what I do in the real world, I mean, TechSoup is really kind of a gathering place for nonprofits. It's a technology resource, but the TechSoup community is also a very kind of large horizontal gathering place for nonprofits. When I say that, I mean as opposed to like vertical single missioned organizations, a larger grouping kind of inhabits the TechSoup community. So I decided that was a good way for me to get involved, would be to create the structure for nonprofits to learn about this technology just like we do with other technologies on our site. And I started really small. I started with, you know, on Information Island in a space that was donated by Lori Bell, who runs Information Island. And then the group was started with like two people. You know, I just kind of found some nonprofit people, and then it grew and grew. And I spoke at the first SLCC, and I was talking about the vision, which is kind of where I'm at now. But at the time, I just said, you know, I have this idea that I'm going to have several hundred nonprofits, and I'm going to provide them with a free space so that they can learn about using this tool, and they can network with each other, and they can kind of, out of this networking with each other, this international group, they can actually start forming new alliances and new projects in the real world. But I, you know, these islands are not cheap. And so I kind of was putting this idea out there and saying, like, with funding, this is the vision. And then at the end of the talk, this guy came up to me and said, you know, my wife is Anchi Chung, and she's the one who was on the cover of Business Week, and she's the first virtual millionaire, and we'd like to sponsor your project. So he gave me my first, Anchi Chung Studios donated my first island, which is the Plush Nonprofit Commons. And it's called Plush because it's on Plush Avenue, which is one of the Anchi Chung properties. It's hard to explain unless you've been to Second Life, but
yeah, but that is a fantastic story.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. And so then, since then, we've grown, and we are about to launch our third, and then right after that, our fourth island. And we have several hundred members, and we have we hold events, and we have these weekly town hall meetings, which are kind of the core structure of the community. It's like this. In the same way that kind of support group meetings have a regular, or, you know, AANA, these type of recurring group meetings have a regular meeting time that never changes. These meetings are always every Friday morning at 8:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. our time, Pacific time. And we usually get a crowd of about 50 to 60 avatars from all over the world who are all nonprofits. And they're very often not the same 50 or 60. And they come, and we have a speaker. So, for example, today we had someone who's doing three projects that have to do, one project is called Kids Connect, which is an international drama therapy, kind of mixed reality drama therapy thing happening in Amsterdam and in New York, and meet through Second Life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And another project she's doing is called Fractor.org. So we have these kind of nonprofits talking about their real life projects, and some of them have real life and Second Life connections. And
that's
then we
fantastic.
Also have, yeah.
So the SLCC is the Second Life Community Convention, is that right?
That's right.
And so I know that there's obviously another, it sounds like, real life convention happening in August, is that right?
Yes, there is.
And are you guys launching anything specific there, or is it going to be, is there anything to look forward to there from you?
Well, I'm actually, I'm launching our next two islands are launching the next two conferences I'm going to be at. One is NTC, we're launching the Eco Commons on Earth Day, which is April 22nd, and that's an environmental island. That island will be a vertical as opposed to a horizontal community of all environmental organizations, and that one is actually being launched in partnership with OneWorld.net, who I'm sure you've heard of. They've been around about 20 years. based in England, but an international organization that does kind of what we do. They do, but it's much broader and much more environmentally focused. So less specifically on technology, more on kind of online networking with environmental focus. And they had a recent event in Second Life on climate change. And so they donated an island to us, and we are launching that in partnership with them on April 22nd on Earth Day. Then the next launch is going to be in conjunction with NetSquared, and that's going to be our health island. We're going to have an all-day long, an eight-hour health expo, so it's kind of an eight-hour-long conference held in Second Life and in the real world at our NetSquared conference, and that event will also launch our next vertical community island, which will be the health nonprofit island. So at SLCC, I don't know if we're going to launch anything at that point. I don't have anything in the mix right now, but we're definitely going to have a presence at the conference, and I think we're running the nonprofit panel as far as I knew. So,
very cool. I got to say, you know, your personal story and connection to Second Life is really, it's really poignant. You know, you've really made it into something super positive. And actually, that was one of the things that I was going to ask you about is, you know, in terms of social media, you know, what have you done that's had the most positive impact? And I was going to ask you if you had a story about that. You've already kind of personally shared a story. I don't know if you want to continue with something else that you may have thought of along those lines.
Yeah, I mean, I can talk about it. It's interesting because the way that we run, we being the nonprofit commons, you know, our Second Life community and TechSoup, is that we really like to provide a structure for other nonprofits to shine and for other nonprofits to connect. We're like almost, if you think about us as a B2B, we're like the technology providers, but we aren't doing the direct service missions. We aren't saving lives one click at a time. So I wanted to tell a story actually about a couple organizations that are in our community and under the larger umbrella of the nonprofit commons, but they are the story that I wanted to tell that has to do with social media, and that is that in the nonprofit commons, the way it's structured is that we have these virtual offices. So if you think about like the Presidio office space for nonprofits, it's like that, but in the virtual world. And we provide these offices for nonprofits. And there was a Community Voicemail is an organization that's a Cisco project, and it's a nonprofit that provides voicemail for homeless people, because you can imagine that they don't all have cell phones and you need a voicemail to transition out of being homeless on many levels, for jobs and for finding a place to live, et cetera. So that's really what they do. Now, there was an organization who had an office in Second Life that was sitting right next door or a couple doors away from the Community Voicemail Project, and they were called Uptown Homeless Shelter, and they're based in North Carolina, and they were needing the services of someone to donate free voicemail for their homeless population and to teach technology skills, and they had never heard of Community Voicemail, but because of this virtual world, they actually discovered, you know, through the stumble upon factor, they stumbled upon Community Voicemail, and they formed a partnership, and now they're working with them. That kind of thing happens all the time. The same social media kind of connections happen through online social networks every day. I mean, if you think about Facebook or Ning or, you know, back in the day in MySpace or Tribe, these stumble upon factors where you start looking at, or even Twitter, you start looking at people who have a similar mission to you or your friends and the people that are near you, and you learn about other organizations that might provide a similar mission, and that has to do with grouping on online social networks.
That is fantastic. I had never even heard of Community Voicemail, but I think, that is, you know, it's a really powerful thing because, yeah, if you think about it, there's almost nothing you can do to get out of being homeless without having some sort of stability.
Right. Another example that comes to mind is with our NetSquared conference, this is kind of interesting as well, two more homeless organizations met. After those two banded together, two more organizations that had to do with the homeless population met up and decided, the four of them, to create a separate real-world project that had to do with technology, like almost like a homeless issues website, like a homeless portal. And that grouping of them, the four of them, they called themselves the Transitions Project, were met in Second Life and had an in-world component, kind of teaching job skills, using Second Life as a virtual classroom so that they would be teaching job skills in Second Life. And then they had a real-world component, and then they submitted this idea to, they became one of the NetSquared participants in last year's competition. So it's another example of kind of not only just meeting through a virtual world or meeting through social media, but weaving, I'm always about weaving these technologies together. I'm not interested in working just in one of these technologies. Like, you know, they're all very kind of walled gardens. You know, if you think about Facebook, you can pull stuff in, but you can't really pipe stuff out through RSS. And Second Life is similar. So the kind of the way that we can do this really effectively is to keep our identities constant. Like, people know my Twitter handle, and I use the same accounts, the same handle for other accounts. Like, I just signed up on 12seconds.tv with the same handle. So if we keep our identities pretty static, then and especially organizational identities, then we can kind of develop connective tissue through these social media programs, and so that we can use a constellation of Web 2.0 tools to do the online community work that we want to do. We don't have to stay within one virtual world or one online social network.
I totally agree. I do the same thing myself. Do you want to say what your handle is so people can find you around the different sites?
Yeah, sure. My handle is Suzboop, S-U-Z as in zebra, B as in boy, O-O-P as in Paul. And it's kind of a stupid name, but it was basically my first email handle when I was, you know, whatever, 16. So that's basically why I still have it. But the avatar name is different. The avatar name is Glitteractica Cookie. So I don't have the same avatar name, but, you know, I mean, I'm very findable.
Yeah, I like the Glitteractica Cookie one. That was really, really cute.
I like that you're the only person who's ever been able to pronounce it correctly on the first try.
Oh.
For some reason, people find it difficult to pronounce. I always say it's really easy. It's just like Galactica, as in Battlestar, but Glitteractica.
Yeah, they obviously don't watch The Office like I do, I guess. I don't know.
Guess.
The Dwight Schrute thing. So I wanted to ask you a little bit more about, you know, you've done a lot of things that have had a positive impact. You've talked about, you know, a few things here that have created synergy, that have created things like the Transitions Project here, and pointed out some other things, and we'll make sure we capture as much of this onto our website as possible so people can go there and get that information. But, you know, I really am interested, too, when we were putting the forum the panel together for the piece we spoke at last week, you're always on a plane, you're always on a train, you're always in an automobile, you're all over the place speaking. And I think that's you know, one of the more positive things that you can do, because you're sharing your brain all over the place. But I wanted to find out, because I think you're probably getting a better read than a lot of others, except for, you know, what we see on Twitter from other parts of the country and world. But I was curious what questions you're asked the most often, or, you know, what seems to come up a lot.
With regard to social media, or with regard to what TechSoup does?
Well, why don't you speak to both? I mean, you know, because it's kind of interrelated, so
yeah.
What you feel like is most relevant.
The question I'm asked the most, I would say, are people want to know, okay, a lot of times people will hear me talk, and then they'll kind of, their eyes will get glazed over in a way where they feel really overwhelmed because the Second Life thing, I think it's, you know, somebody said recently, taking a sip of water from a fire hydrant. You know, it's a lot to digest if you haven't been in world and you haven't seen it. So
I'm laughing because I get that so often.
I know. I just got it yesterday. I was like, okay, I'm hopefully not going to be a fire hydrant. I'd like to be a water fountain. But
that's a good comeback. I might steal that one from you.
You're welcome, too. So what I hear is, okay, first of all, they think we aren't ready for a Second Life yet. So what would be the first? What would be the main three tools, the first three things we can do, or what are the most important three tools we should at least start with? That's one of the main questions I get.
Mm-hmm.
And my response is, you don't have to like spend one FTE on three different online social media applications. You can spend, you know, a few minutes a day. You can spend kind of 10 minutes a day on several of them. And that, in a way, is a better philosophy, kind of, because there are different populations for different types of tools. So you
mm-hmm.
can't expect that everyone is going to be on Facebook or everybody's going to be in Second Life.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I always like to come back with is, it doesn't need to be such an overwhelming, daunting, huge commitment to dive into Second Life. You can set up an account in a matter of minutes for free and just take a walk around and come to a nonprofit commons meeting. You know, just come to something that you already know is there and just stand there and listen. You don't need to do anything, just to try it out. And then I guess my third thing is just try, you know, test them, see what works for you. And then finally, see what your organization's needs are. You know, if your organization doesn't have any use for video, then setting up a YouTube account and trying to make a video doesn't really make a lot of sense. Kind of listen to your organization's needs and your constituency. If you're in a nonprofit, the needs of your constituents, and kind of try and figure out, based on that, what would be the best way to start.
So those are the things you hear most when you're out in the field giving.
Yeah, like, giving, at a bare minimum, what should we start with? What three tools is a kind
yeah,
of one I
yeah.
hear a lot.
Now, how is that different from the work you were mentioning? There's the kind of two ways to answer the question. You were saying that, you know, you could answer it from a TechSoup perspective. Is the answer different?
Well, the TechSoup audience is different. I mean, the TechSoup let me scroll back. I was saying that the question is different from, like, if people are asking me about TechSoup, they might say, you know, the site, what do we need to know about TechSoup and how do we get involved and what would be the best way for us to get software from you? And because TechSoup is also a very large entity. I mean, we have several programs. We have a green technology program. We have NetSquared. We have our product distribution program where you can get your software at, you know, 95% off of retail, which is a really big deal for 501c3 nonprofits that want to save money. That's a really big deal. But there's also, you know, our nonprofit commons, and there's our global program, and there's the online community and webinars and challenges. And so it's kind of, where do we start with TechSoup is another question I get. And I answer it basically just, you know, set up an account and what do you need? I mean, every organization needs software, so that's easy. They just go to the blue tab on our site and start looking for products that suit their organization's needs. But then the question is, how do we know what we need? And I can't answer that question, but there's an online community that can help you answer that question.
Right.
You know, do you necessarily need, you might not necessarily need, you know, this new spam program or this new online editing program. That might not be what you need. So kind of really to assess what you need and then go from there.
Yeah, and I find that, you know, even outside of TechSoup, going back to what you were originally saying about the broader audiences, about where do we start, you know, it really kind of comes down to needs or goals, you know. So not just, you know, it's from the nonprofit sector, you know, there's definitely a lot of need, and TechSoup is you know, doing a great job filling the void, and has, you know, you've given a couple of really poignant stories where there's been, you know, great intersections that have happened because of the community effort alone. But, you know, the goal piece is the one that, you know, I definitely, you know, share, you know, a piece of with you, because people often don't think about, you know, what do we want to get out of this? And I think that's one of the hardest things for them to hear, because a lot of times, and I don't know if you experience this too, I'd be curious to hear, because, you know, companies might come to us, whether it's a new business client or it's an existing client or I'm speaking somewhere, and recently it's been, you know, oh my gosh, what do I do on Twitter? I've got to be on Twitter. My boss is all over me about it. I'm supposed to be the one doing it. And it's like, okay, whoa, let's pop up a few levels. Why Twitter? What's the goal?
Right.
And so I'm curious what your response is. I'm sure you get that a lot, where people come fluttering to you about something specific, and, you know, there's sort of that goals or needs assessment piece. What do you back to them with?
Yeah, I mean, you're completely right on that, and that's exactly what people do come and say, you know, and they say to me after they see me talk, like, okay, I know I need to be on Twitter. I don't really know what I'm supposed to do. So what I usually say is, you just start listening in and see if this is what you want to do, and also kind of listen in so you can get a sense of the culture and how people are. It's not about kind of just signing up and being a walking commercial. You're not going to get any followers with that kind of behavior. And similarly with Second Life, if you're going to just sign up and kind of post a, you know, join the nonprofit commons or get some land and put a sign up and never be there, then you're not really there. So kind of get a sense for what works for your organization and what you think your capacity is. And if your capacity is only 20 minutes a day, you probably don't want to join Second Life. And you might want to just join Twitter. But not to think about, another thing I wanted to mention was not to think about this as something that is going to have immediate monetary payoff. That's a place where a lot of nonprofits get stuck. Like, well, what's the ROI? And if I can't, you know, if I can't say that I'm going to get $5,000 a month off of this, it's not worth my doing. And I don't think that's a very kind of, it's just not a very current way to look at things. I think that's a very kind of old school way to look at these technologies. And the marketing value, the networking value, I mean, the fact that you're hearing from people is valuable. And it's not always about translatable into dollars. And, you know, it was interesting at the panel that you and I were on, there was, I don't know if you remember this, but there was a woman who said, when should I decide that it's not working and I should dump it? And one of the guys on the panel said 2 months, and I disagreed, and I said, actually, I would say 2 years. And she said, well, I don't have 2 years. And it's like, well, why don't you – It's not really, I mean, it's not something that you can kind of put a deadline on and mark success or failure, because it's something that needs to grow and cultivate. Online community isn't something you can just kind of sign up for, make a success within 2 months, and then determine that that's a success. It's something that you really need to grow, and you have to gain credibility in the larger community, and that takes time.
I agree with you completely, and I remember that as well. And I thought, too, a piece of that was something that you touched on earlier, which is, you know, the people you're trying to reach, who are they and where might they already be online? Because so many people are in these communities already. So, you know, trying to do some sort of litmus test about where you can reach them, where they already are, is a very valuable way of looking at it. And then in terms of the return on investment piece, the ROI piece that you mentioned, I agree with that, too. I am constantly trying to sort of promote this concept that I believe was birthed by a friend of mine, Adam Metz, who's a social media
strategist. Oh, I know him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He talks about return on participation and the value of getting people in, you know, this two-way exchange and this value, like, beyond marketing, beyond you know, lead gen or whatever the a business goal might be for a particular organization in the business world or for a fundraising goal in the nonprofit world, there's still this huge value to just people getting people participating. And I like to, kind of throw that back, you know, for consideration when talking to people, you know, think about what that means, you know. So, you know, getting, you know, people, you know, and the way I kind of think of it is, you know, the online cocktail party, right? So,
right.
You know, lots of companies spend money on parties and get-togethers and all kinds of stuff to get the right people talking to each other. That's what we're doing in the online world, but for a heck of a lot less money.
And a lot less effort.
Yeah, exactly. So you can kind of be a lot of places doing that and facilitating that kind of conversation. But without getting too far, because we're getting closer to the end here, I wanted to be able to give you a chance to talk about having a book coming out. That's really exciting.
Yeah.
It's a bit early stage, but I wanted you to be able to share with us your journey there.
Yeah, I'm going to be writing a book on building and leveraging online communities for social change, published by Josie Duff, Wiley Josie Duff. And it is going to be basically about how social benefit organizations are creating social change using online community in its various facets. So kind of a chapter on Ning and a chapter on Second Life and a chapter on traditional old school message boards and how people are using things like causes.com, which is causes on Facebook, or change.org, and how people are doing kind of fundraising online and that type of thing, even Games for Change. So that's kind of the direction that it's focusing on. And there are a lot of Web 2.0 books, and there are a lot of online community books, and there are a lot of social change books. But I think that this is the first one that kind of marries those three areas. So that's and it has to do with marketing and has to do with using different channels to kind of, like I said, to kind of create the dotted line between the online communities and leverage all of those different networks towards your goal of social change.
That's really cool. So what gave you the idea or what got you started on the path of you know, marrying those three ideas and creating, you know, obviously it's a huge commitment to write a book. So what kind of got you down that path?
Well, actually, I got approached to write the book. I wasn't planning to write a book, at least not this book. but they, I got pitched. So the publisher, a different publisher, first pitched, and then this publisher pitched. So I got asked to write the book. And it's just kind of what I've been talking about at different conferences and, you know, writing different tweets and blog entries about it. It's going to focus on images and listservs and blogging, microblogging, and online social networks and virtual worlds and basically just kind of all the stuff I do. So that's really where it evolved. It evolved out of I've been considered, I guess, a subject matter expert for several years now on this specific area. So that was kind of what happened.
Well, good for you, and I think that's going to be a great thing that people can kind of hang on to as sort of a Bible of record, you know, for social media in the nonprofit space, because I think there's a lot of material out there, too, that kind of has a specific bent to it, you know. So somebody coming at it, so from my perspective, and, you know, I had mentioned a few of the causes that I'm interested in, but, you know, I'll see things that the American Cancer Society does, for example, and they do it a specific way, and it seems to really work, and I'm a big fan, not that I'm not a fan of the American Cancer Society, of course, but I've had a lot of family members affected by kidney disease and, you know, having to have transplants and that sort of thing. And with the lack of awareness about donors and donor cards and, you know, the DMV is definitely not doing a service to a huge cause and something, you know, at least polls say a lot of people would buy into and it would save so many lives. So I feel like saying, hey, National Kidney Foundation, you get, you know, so, and it's been hard to find that two-way dialogue. So it's interesting sometimes when you feel really passionate about something, sometimes it's hard to connect, even though you're feeling really passionate about it. So I think, you know, I think it's going to be a great service that, you know, for these organizations, they can go and go, okay, well, there are interested people. Let's see how we find them, because...
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be focusing on a lot of case studies of success stories, like what you're saying. And, I mean, American Cancer Society is one of the organizations that I'm going to be profiling. And the ASPCA does a really interesting kind of online community social networking marriage. So I'm going to be focusing on them as well. There's a lot of case studies involved and just... showing organizations that, I mean, I think that the target audience, you know, really being smaller nonprofits with a smaller budget, they're going to really benefit from this book.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And ASPCA is another, I'm a huge animal lover myself. What I love for them is the way they've brought activism into it so that it makes it so easy for me to feel like I'm taking action. And then they'll be little pieces of it where I can go in person to things, but more than anything, I can, you know, do something valuable through a click or adding a note or making a phone call. And they're really good about letting you know that in whatever way. So by texting or email or RSS feed or however you know, whatever your way of gathering information is of choice, you know, they make it so easy for you.
Yeah, they have a great Ning site as well, which kind of brings all of those together. They do a good job at it. And, you know, I mean, it's kind of like you have to really look at what your organization's timetable is and what your internal resources are, and then finally what your constituency needs. Like, if you have the kind of constituency that is not going to invest the time to participate in a community blog, but you want to have a group of people making shout-outs toward the same mission, then, for example, maybe starting a community Twitter account, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that's what it's going to be focusing on.
Great. Well, I wanted to kind of end on the note of, you know, if there are nonprofits out there that are seeking help and looking to get smart but lack resources, as, you know, is usually the case, unfortunately, what's your advice to them, and how can TechSoup Global and NetSquared help? You touched on a lot of that here, but and you touched on that even in your answer about what you get asked about a lot. But from this audience, which could be kind of diverse, how would you tell them to connect with the organizations that the organization that you work with and the organizations that fall underneath it, TechSoup Global?
I would say that if they're a nonprofit with a question and they have technology needs, the best, easiest place to go would be the TechSoup community, which is just if you go to TechSoup.org/community, or if you go to TechSoup.org and you click on the tab that says community, there's a message board in there, and it's really actively staffed with people that are eager to answer your questions. If you're an organization that really wants to learn more and read more about social change using Web 2.0, I would take a peek at the case studies in the NetSquared community blog. And if you're interested in doing environmental kind of, if you're interested in, for example, virtual meetings and reducing your carbon footprint and your organization's costs by doing, you know, more environmentally conscious non-commuting ways of practicing work, telecommuting, I would go to our green tech section, which is techsoup.org/green tech. If you're interested in virtual worlds, nonprofitcommons.org is the community blog for our Second Life group, and you can just join Second Life and search for Nonprofit Commons, but that will tell you a lot. And if you're just an organization looking to get products, if that's all you want, and you don't really, I mean, you're not necessarily interested in reading articles, or you don't have time to invest in the community, but you just want to benefit from the product donations, you can just go to TechSoup and click on the blue tab that says products, get products. And